We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Let them feel you.
All right, this is Dwayne from Concord. You're listening to the Morning Roast. Spadoni, the Italians love you.
Well,
and Chasky,
you're pretty cool too.
And then Chasky, I love Sam in the background. Sam Lubman, a much deserved week off. He'll be back on Monday.
Thank God.
Steven Rizzotto crushing it though this week. Good job, Steven. We appreciate you, Carter, stepping up there.
Never slept better.
Does he keep you up at night? What is Sam? Is he texting you or something?
It's just a giant headache.
Really?
Hey, I'm loving it. I'm going to be at Freedman's and Plyce's this Saturday with Mark Grant.
Well, hello there.
Hey, Sam, I love you and I appreciate
it. Is he back for a Saturday show?
That's a good. Is he? Is he back tomorrow, Steven Rizzotto?
I'm pretty sure he is back.
Orange and Black, weekend wrap. 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Make sure it's weekend wrapped, people, ladies and gentlemen. All right? Got to make sure it's wrapped. By the way, we're going to be wrapping up our first round of the Best Bay Area Sports Topics of the 21st Century today. And leading into the break, we had moving off Bruce Bochy going up against the A's moving, both of those topics. We actually have sound connected to both of those, Broseph. Did you know that? We pulled some sound of you and Bonte talking about the Giants moving off Bruce Bochy when it happened.
Okay.
You want to listen to it?
No.
This is actually from 2023.
Oh, so this is 2 years ago, so not even.
Well, in real time, I got mad because when they fired Dave Righetti, it was clearly like the management was telling him, you have to get rid of Righetti because you're next. And I remember going like, of all the people who have ever done anything with the Giants, Dave Righetti deserves an opportunity to go out on his own terms.
And he's an Italian, right? So come on. You can't be doing that to the Paisan. Morning Roast 2 years ago talking about moving off Bruce Bochy.
I agree that the Giants maybe should have moved off him. Maybe because he did. You know, the Giants were getting stale at that point in 2017, 2018. I agree with that. I'm not going to go back and say, oh, the Giants should have kept Bochy. But the replacement Farhan, or the guy he replaced him with, and look, I'm not trying to throw shade at Gabe Kapler, but Kapler was in a no-win situation replacing Bruce Bochy, coming off his tenure with the Philadelphia Phillies and what happened in 2016 with the LA Dodgers. I mean, I'm looking at Farhan saying, how is he going to get a team to compete with these guys? The Orioles, the Rangers, the Braves, the Phillies, the Diamondbacks, the Dodgers. It's not too late to fire this guy.
Look, like right now in my work life here,
I would rather
at the station,
be the White Sox.
With this studio falling apart here, I need a change of scenery, right? I need to get into that new studio at some point. I don't know about you, but I need the jolt. You know what I mean? I need that jolt. I do believe on some level, Bruce Bochy needed a change of scenery, a jolt. When you step away from something like a vacation or whatever, or you change jobs, or sometimes it's necessary to just give you that energized feeling. And he clearly looks energized. That being said, to me, it was the way the whole thing went down.
And that was a couple years ago back at the old building in the old station that was, as you mentioned, falling apart. We didn't have air conditioning. We had a door that had to stay open because of the AC. I was wearing shorts and flip-flops, showing off my beautiful feet to everybody every day. It was a good vibe. It was a great time. Hey, at least we had space over there though, Joe. Remember that? That was nice. Actually, I had like we can walk around and, you know, just talk and not have people all up in our business. But that's all right. It is what it is. I love our salespeople. I love our account executives. I love all the other hosts here at the station.
No disrespect to Gabe Kapler, but
that wasn't disrespectful to Gabe. I thought Bonte said that very well. He's in a no-win situation. When you're taking over a legend, like, sorry, you're in a no-win situation. Whoever takes over for, you know, Joe Torre as the Yankees guy, they're going to be compared. And who was it? Joe Girardi?
Girardi.
And finally, and he won one and helped that he played for the team. But hell, you have to go in realizing you're not going to be that person. Hell, and this the radio analogy, I was taking over for Bonte Hill, right? Some might say the Joe Torre of 95.7 The Game. Some might say that. I'm not going to be him. I'm not. Can I just be Joe Girardi? Can I be Joe Spadoni in this case? I'm going to try to be the best that I could be. And Gabe Kapler, for 1 year, it felt like he hit all the right buttons. It was great. And then we started to realize the players kind of walked all over him. He wanted the players to police themselves, and that can't happen. And we had a Pessoy problem in the clubhouse, and the rest was history. So, is what it is. And now Gabe's moved on to bigger and better things, and he is now at the Marlins. So, he's in South Beach, hanging out, having some Cubanos. He's not in Sacramento with the A's and watching their ball club, though, because that's what this topic is going up against in the best Bay Area sports topics of the 21st century. Moving off Bruce Bochy, going up against the A's, moving. And this was actually a really good cut that Carter grabbed, Steven Rizzotto. Brody Brazil. Was this on the morning roast? I believe it was when he joined you and Bonte. And it was got very emotional last year as the A's played their final game at the Coliseum. It was actually a pretty cool moment. I remember, who was it, against the Rangers? Bruce Bochy was actually there. And Boch obviously being a part of all those Bay Bridge series between the Giants and A's over the years. Made it kind of special there too. But this is Brody Brazil, formerly of NBC Sports California, getting emotional about the A's moving. Obviously, Brody, long ties with the A's.
I want to be clear, this is not the ultimate relocation news, but it is a pivotal step, a defining step in this process. I just want to share something. Today, just in San Ramon with my son. Here we go.
I knew this was coming.
I saw a kid wearing an A's hat.
Mm-hmm.
And to think that in 10 years, you won't be seeing that around here, it's tough to swallow. It's something becoming extinct. It's been around here all my life, most of your life. And you won't see it. That'll be like an Expos hat. You know, the A's hat around here will be like an Expos hat. And, sorry. Sorry, not sorry, to be honest with you.
You know, you are a human being, Brody. And it's natural to have a feeling like we just lost a family member.
Yeah.
And it really is just like that. And, you know, a lot of us around here, we were born in the 60s. We were here before the A's got here. And when the A's came, it became a dream of ours. And some of us were able to live that dream out. And we were able to go to the games with our fathers, with our grandfathers and our families. And so the feeling that I see coming from you right now, I know it's because you won't be able to experience that with Max. And, yeah. and that's a tough one to have to bear. But it's not your fault.
Brody Brazil and Bip Roberts, obviously sound courtesy of NBC Sports California, getting emotional there. And it's an emotional time, man. And it still is for a lot of people. You can't really like put on the game. It's weird seeing them play in a AAA ballpark, and they don't even have a name. It's just the Athletics. It's just the whole thing is just, had it been a different ownership, maybe it had gone differently, but that's the owner, is John Fisher, and he could do with what he wants with his team, and that's what he's doing. So, I mean.
Were you in the building the day that they took all their equipment out of here and they said, it's not you, it's us, or it's not us, it's you?
When we were with the A's, yeah, that was the whole Cavill special there when it was, we didn't talk about them enough, and because they didn't rate, and because, I don't know, you guys don't invest in your own team. So maybe there's a trickle-down effect of you not investing in the team.
No, we did talk about them.
No. I'm saying
I did.
No one cared when we talked about them because the team didn't care about the players and keeping the good players because they kept moving off of them, and the fan base kept dwindling and dwindling and dwindling, and the listeners showed that. They didn't care because the team and the ownership didn't care about the product.
People get mad when we say this. Like, hey, we talk about what you want to hear about.
Yes.
So, like, I would love to come on here and just talk about golf. Right now, the Open's going on right now. Hey, let's talk golf. Something unique, something different. I just know there's not enough of you out there.
Correct.
And
I would love to talk college football year-round. Would love to.
Yeah, but there's this thing like, you owe it to everyone to discuss X, Y, Z. Look, the Sharks are here. And there's a lot of Sharks fans, but there's not enough of them to warrant enough conversation on air that's the numbers are telling us that's what you guys want. Now, maybe there's a day where it changes and they win a couple cups in a row and we're all in and we're all talking, opening shows talking about hockey.
And there's levels to all of this. And the A's were just at the bottom of the totem pole when it came to talking about them. And now there's going to be people feeling some type of way about it. I understand it. There is just a numbers aspect to all of this. And yes, I ultimately always blame the ownership and franchise because had there been a different owner and had you invested in the team, maybe you have, and maybe it's never the same. Maybe the Giants are always the cream of the crop. But I always chose to believe that there could have been two thriving teams in this market had ownership cared enough to invest in it. But when you keep trading players that are slowly becoming household names, that's when you have a problem. And that's when I stopped caring as a fan. When you start trading the Donaldsons, right? When you stop, you know, you don't re-sign the Matt Chapmans and the Matt Olsons and the Marcus Simeons, like all those household names and guys that have local ties, even the Simeons, as I mentioned. Like, yeah, I'm going to stop caring, dude. Like, I'm sorry. Like, what's the point of just rehashing this for what? For who, for what, right? So it was unfortunate. And honestly, there's levels to this in Sports Talk Radio when it comes to just teams with still that we do talk about. When it's football season, man, we're going to be talking Niners like we just are. The Niners dominate. You know why the Niners dominate? Because the NFL dominates everywhere. And then you know who else dominates locally? Stephen Curry and the Warriors. We're going to talk about that. And if the Giants aren't going to be playing baseball that's important in September and late September, yeah, sorry, they're on the back burner. That's why we want the Giants to do well. We want all these teams to do well. You think we were happy that the Raiders ended up moving? I would love to talk about two different NFL teams. Even the Raiders obviously didn't rate as much as the 49ers here locally, but it's another thing to talk about. The Antonio Brown saga in and of itself was insane. It was crazy. We were always rooting for more content here, Joey, right? But, you know, the ownership, they didn't care, and they didn't invest in the team, and I'm not going to talk about it, and we're not talking about it anymore, and it's unfortunate, and that is what it is at this point, and will they go to Vegas? We'll still wait and see. I don't know, but it's something that's always going to be unfortunate as we look back in the history of Bay Area sports. What could have been and what was, because the A's were the first team to win a World Series out here. You know, the Raiders were the first team to win a Super Bowl here in the Bay Area, and now both of them are gone. So there you go.
It's well said.
What's the polls looking like for that one? Do we have an update on Bochy v. A's moving before we pivot here, Carter? And we got the mayor of San Francisco, by the way, in about 45 minutes, 9:30, Mayor Daniel Lurie, courtesy of River Islands, going to be joining us, because not only do we have the World Cup here next year, we got the Super Bowl, and coming up in a couple of years, potentially, Joe, Oracle Park back in the mix for the Major League Baseball All-Star Game.
The mayor was at Jimmy's pop-up at the old Little Lucas. It's not Little Lucas, it's Lucas.
Jimmy who? What are you talking about?
Jimmy Butler. He has this coffee pop-up, whatever it is. And so Lucas was an old school 22nd in Valencia. It's like one of these old school Italian spots that used to roll their own pasta by hand. You can see the guys.
Still one on Chestnut Street.
What?
Still one on Chestnut Street.
I didn't even know that.
Right. Yeah.
See, beautiful. When you grow up on the south side of San Francisco, we don't really go to the marina unless we're in our drinking ages.
Yeah, the north side still has one.
Yeah, see, of course they do. Of course they do.
Is it Little Lucas specialty?
No,
sandwich?
Little Lucas is in South City. That's a deli.
Okay, it's different.
Yeah, and that's a deli where you can get the garlic aioli sauce, which is fire.
What are we talking
Little
about
Lucas
right now?
Little Lucas is old. Lucas, like Italian. I don't even get it. Just call it Lucas. L-U-C-C-A.
Luca Delicatessen. That's the Chestnut Street. This is the one we're talking about?
Yeah, but it used to be on 22nd in Valencia, right? And so it was vacant for many, 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 many years. But it was there forever growing up. It was Mitchell's and it was Lucas in that particular corridor. And now Jimmy Butler put a pop-up. His Big Face Coffee or whatever is in there. And just look, as a native San Franciscan who hung out on 26th and Poplar with my boy Seamus for years on end, there's a small part of me that's sad to see an old school place that was just a staple of the neighborhood hollowed out for Jimmy Butler's Big Face Coffee. But I'm not mad at Jimmy for putting something there because it sat vacant for a long, long time.
Well, you know what? He did serve something Italian there, some espresso. So there you go. So maybe some older Italian guys were wandering.
Their
over
frozen there. Raviolis, Joe, would go off. Go off.
You had me at ravioli.
No, they were so good. They were like a sheet that were frozen together. Ever so, like they were cut, but they weren't cut, if you know what I mean. You know what I mean? And they were little, and you'd throw them in the water, and oh God, they're the best.
Boil them for, I always like those ones too. Like
4 minutes.
Tortellini, ravioli. Yeah, you boil them for just a couple minutes. They're good. Get some sauce poured on top over there. My dad makes some really good homemade pasta sauce.
The reason why Luca's turned into a coffee shop hit me at home and like in the heart is because the mission
was the first of many neighborhoods that has been, you know, the word's gentrified or whatever, but it's changed dramatically, whatever you want to call it. I know when you say the word gentrified, people lose their minds, but like the Mission to me was like the heartbeat of culture. You had the entire Latin American culture infusion, the Irish and Italian infusion in the decades prior to that. And then it was like a working class neighborhood that got completely priced out, and places like Luca's were staples of yesteryear. Right. There was a little deli back in the day in our neighborhood that is now turned back into a deli. And so like there's these little spots that used to represent old school neighborhoods. And that's why it was like sad, but also cool to see Jimmy Butler put that coffee shop there. I know that sounds weird. Maybe you guys don't understand what I'm explaining.
I get what you're saying. Life finds a way in a way. So shout out Jurassic Park. Right.
And that's Dr. actually a good. You like that?
Life finds a way, whether it's, you know, through business, through, you know, real life stuff. And that is real life stuff for a lot of people going through, you know, the hardships of what the pandemic was. And, you know, Jimmy Butler, you know, shining a light on his own coffee, but doing it at a place that is near and dear to your heart. Yeah, I understand you feeling some type of way about
there
it.
There was like, first off, it was like the only place that had a parking lot. That's number one. And
that's
number two,
big time, yeah.
Right? It had behind it had a parking lot. And then you could see in where they were handcrafting pasta, which we know now that. Everything's automated. Everything's AI. There's still an old AI school pasta. Nostalgia yeah. to seeing that done. And then they had the artwork, the Luca on the side of the wall, which stands out. I know, I'm getting real deep into the city.
You're good.
It's just...
So Mayor Daniel Lurie, 9:30, yeah. as we put a bow on that. And we'll get back to him and how he thought the Jimmy... Butler coffee tasted. Big Face coffee, right? Maybe we should get some of that here. Let's hit up Jimmy Butler's people, see if we can get a sample here at 95.7 The Game. So we got Bochy VA's moving. What's the pull out there, Carter?
To my surprise, at least, the A's moving out of Oakland is at 80%.
It's a big one. It's most yeah. It's recent, right? And we do have a lot of loyal East Bay listeners, but it was just a huge sport. It was a topic. Again, you'll notice some of these that were local and may not have been big local as a story, but obviously it was.
Well, they dragged on,
but it kept going. But like that one becoming a national topic and people running with it, and then same with the Tuck rule on the opposite side of the bracket, like those things that are like transcend local yeah. stuff and go national. A lot of people it resonates.
Well, that's why I think the next ones are maybe. I think this is the toughest of the first round.
This is a good one we're about to get to right now.
I think this is a totally unfair matchup. Both of these could be number one seeds.
Again, we are doing the best Bay Area sports topics of the 21st century, and this is the bottom right quadrant here as I'm holding it up on the YouTube, and it's all on our social media as well, at 95.7 The Game. You could find these here. We are going through it all right now. And coming up right now, we've got 49ers Super Bowl losses going up against Barry Bonds and steroids. Woo-hoo-hoo. This is Duke, North Carolina of the bracket, Joey. Let's start with the 49ers Super Bowl losses. And you had it right there just in the sentence. Losses. Three.
You could even put the heartbreak of an NFC championship game in there.
But we're going to stick to the losses because it's the big game. It's the biggest game.
No, I'm talking about the NFC championship game losses could also be filed in there.
You could.
One thing Niner fans held their hat on. This is a bizarre thing in this day and age that people are gonna think we're nuts forever. You would see these like T-shirts sold in the Candlestick Lot, 5-0, and then Too Short's favorite word. Like yeah. you would see those T-shirts everywhere.
Snitch.
Undefeated. You know, San Quinn had many lines. Undefeated in the Super Bowl, like my Niners. I yeah. never lose. Things like that. It was part of what made the Niners so mythical is like, hey, when we get there, we win it every single time. That was their like hallmark. We get to the Super Bowl, we are winning it. Whereas the Cowboys and the Steelers, they each had losses. And while, you know, the Patriots have obviously now had a loss and they had one prior to them even winning one, they lost in 85 to the Bears. Like yeah. a lot of the teams that had been there multiple times had a couple of losses. It was the one thing Niner fans could hang their hat on when they were down during the lean years. And then when you lost that first one, I mean, the whole story of Jim Harbaugh's career arc with the Niners starts and ends with those Super Bowl losses, that Super Bowl loss.
Is there anyone still left with multiple Super Bowl wins but no losses? Oh, Ravens, I think, are undefeated, but there's only two. Tampa Bay, I think, is also 2-0. And then, the Raiders are 3-1. So, yeah, I think there's only a couple. But those, again, two. But 5-0 at one point is insane.
So like New England lost 85 and they lost to the Green Bay Packers, for example, when Brett Favre and Desmond Howard. But like, so but we think of them now like, oh, they're 7 and whatever, yeah, 6 championships or whatever it is. Like that, I know it sounds stupid, but that's what Niner fans would say. Hey, yep, we never lose Super Bowls. We, yep, get there, we don't lose.
Well, that was for the longest time when it was Brady versus Montana. It was, Joe never lost. He never lost the big game. Brady lost. Oh, so perfect team, I ass. Joe never lost. Oh,
and he never threw an interception.
You lost to Eli Manning. That wouldn't have happened to Joe Montana. And then it got to a point where Tom won 7. He went to 10 and won 7. He's like, oh, all right. Well, I guess. But even saying that, people would still say Joe Montana. They're still taking him. And that's fine. That's what we love about sports. You are perfectly fine to take your guy, Joe Montana.
Well, there is something to be said for Montana. Yes. Never losing a bowl game, college or pros.
Sure.
And Bill Walsh never losing a bowl game, right, college or pros. There's something there. I don't know what, but there is something to that.
And we're talking right now the 49ers Super Bowl losses. So 3 of them, 2 of them against the Chiefs, 1 of them against the Ravens, and Jim's brother, John Harbaugh, the original Harbowl in the Super Bowl.
I have the Sports Illustrated New Orleans, where it's called Superdome, the Harbowl, and they're, yep, looking at each other and they're screaming. Kaepernick, you know, it was supposed to be his coming of age. It was supposed to be Justin Smith, Patrick Willis, Frank Gore,
yep,
Vernon Davis, Justin Smith. It was supposed to be their crowning achievement.
Yep.
And they lost that game. And I remember walking up and down Mission Street.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall. Did he catch it?
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
In the days, forever. Now, we thought, hey, the Niners are going to win the Super Bowl, the Giants... because at the time the Giants would, yeah, go on in 2012 to, yeah, also win the World Series. Like, it was like, oh, we're going to win it in baseball and football. It didn't end up being the way. Then you get the second Super Bowl loss. You were up multiple scores to Mahomes in the Super Bowl when it felt like it was magical. Then you lose the other one in overtime. I mean, any one of those could have been by themselves. The Super Bowl losses, I mean, I don't even know what to say.
Can you rank them for me? The most heartbreaking to the least heartbreaking for you.
Yes.
I'm just watching you right now, by the way, when we're talking about this, the 1,000-yard stare that you're doing in this studio right now, in regards, you go to a dark place when you hear that word.
I can make an argument that some of the NFC Championship game losses are as hurtful as the Super Bowl loss. And I know that sounds insane, but like...
No, the Seahawks one I get. Like the Richard Sherman aspect,
it was
the
end
rivalry
of everything.
Yes, that one.
The Rams, yeah, one.
The Rams yeah,
one. I'm telling you guys, man, we had that Rams one in the, because Mahomes had lost while we were in the stadium. Yep. We saw them lose to the Bengals. It was like, here's the chance.
And then everyone started saying before the game, oh, Bengals, Niners? I've heard that before. And then that was the kiss of death. That's all you needed to hear right there. And I don't even know if the Niners beat the Joe Burrow, the Bengals team. I don't know. Even that Rams-Bengals game was super close and tight. But the fact that, you know, Jimmy looked the way he did at the end of that game, Jaquaski Tart, you mentioned the story with your dad yesterday. Well, it's coming down to, it was this, literally.
I'm afraid that it's going to have to be Jimmy Garoppolo that gets it done.
So, yes, there's been some brutal conference championship losses. Hell, even you in Philadelphia, well, you never even had a chance.
I mean, I'm not convinced the Niners were going to win that game.
Well,
I thought it would have been a good game. I'll give the Eagles credit. They were awesome.
My wallet was convinced because I lost a lot of money on that one.
The Super Bowl losses are just... I don't even know what to say. Like, they change your history forever. Does Harbaugh get a contract extension? That's why,
yeah,
you know, he lost his mind. Does Kaepernick turn into something else now that he has a Super Bowl under his belt? What happens to the legacy of Justin Smith, Alden Smith, Bowman, Frank Gore, Vernon Davis, Michael Crabtree, Randy Moss,
right,
who was on that team, right? Like, so many guys. If I say LaMichael James, like, people want to take that guy out with pitchforks.
They don't think of his elite career at Oregon, let's just say that.
I believe he scored a touchdown in one of the other playoff games prior to that. Like, he had moments.
Butterfingers is what I think about him.
You know, and then, like, the 2019 Super Bowl, the pose that the defense had after they got that turnover where they're all sliding into the end zone. I mean, it's just, You know, the Jimmy throw to Emmanuel Sanders. What does that do? Like, what does that do? What does that do to Shanahan's legacy? They win that Super Bowl.
Oh, I mean, are you kidding me? He's on the Sean McVay.
What does that do to Andy Reid?
Yeah.
What does that do to Mahomes?
It's a trickle-down effect. Right? Travis Kelce.
All those guys. What does it do to Nick Bosa, Deebo Samuel? Deebo might still be here. Who knows? Like, you never know. Kittle. I go, Joe Staley's final year, who you referenced. Like, yeah. I think of guys like all of those guys. D Ford trades looked at completely different. John Lynch. You know, Jed York.
Oh, well,
how do you view Jed York?
You say John Lynch. What do we all think of in that game? Timeout.
Yeah, well.
Timeout.
I will contend this. The best throw Jimmy ever made was in that first half. The throw to Kittle down the sideline that got called for OPI. One of the worst calls I've ever seen.
That was a bad call.
It was maybe his finest throw. It was everything. It was everything. And then the one in overtime. I mean, where do I go?
Actually, we can go right here. This is actually your reaction the morning after they lost the Super Bowl last year.
I'm still devastated.
He's an all-time legend. And we said it when we were walking out, and somebody turned to us and goes, yeah, he's Michael Jordan. And that makes us the Utah Jazz.
Wow.
You know how hard it was to hear that?
Yeah.
And now I'm thinking to myself, watching this guy get his third Super Bowl, we are the equivalent of the Cincinnati Bengals for his Joe Montana resume. We've lost now. Not once, but twice to him. And in this one, he turned it over. He turned it over. He left it on a platter for you to go and seize it. And the inconsistency with play calling, the contradictory, I'm aggressive, but then I'm not aggressive. I'm going to give it to McCaffrey, but now he fumbles, and so I'm not going to go to him, and I'm going to go away from him. You don't touch the ball for an entire real-time hour coming out of the second quarter to the third quarter, and then we're going to come out passing when we have no rhythm. Losing Dre Greenlaw the way you did felt very Bowman-like. Losing one of my favorite players and then not capitalizing and not punching the ball into the end zone, settling for field goals, giving that guy the ball again. You knew in overtime, you better get six because that guy over there is getting six. Three is a minimum for him. Six was what you had to get. And I just, you know, the Shanahan stuff, no one is saying run him out of town. He's a great coach. But there is something to these big games.
That was you the day after the Super Bowl loss in Vegas when you're there for not one but two post-game shows.
Before the audio came out of the overtime, I turned to Bonte and Sam.
At Allegiant Stadium.
Yeah, I turned to Bonte and Sam, and I said, this is the first possession of overtime for the Niners. You cannot just get a field goal here. It has to be six. It has to be. I don't care if it's 3rd and 17, 4th and 12. You have got to take every. It's a four down territory the whole way. Because I knew once they got the ball, it would be, oh, well, they get four opportunities.
Yep.
Because they're chasing a number, right? And I remember it was 3rd and 7 or whatever it was where, Chandler Jones blew up that play. Chris Jones, excuse me. I turned to Sam and Bonte. I said, do not kick the field goal here. They're like, it's 4th and 7. I said, guys, he's going to score a touchdown. You have to get a touchdown. You have to. You cannot kick a field goal. And this is before all the audio came out, before anything, before we found out whether they knew the rules or not. I was like, that guy over there is going to get the ball, and he's going to score a touchdown. And he's going to have four chances to march down the field. Three isn't going to get it done.
Clutch field goal, by the way, Jake Moody making sure they got the lead there in overtime. By the way, you're listening.
They were lucky to go to overtime because they tackled Kelce at like the 3-yard line. He could have scored a touchdown on that.
I thought they were going to win. Yeah.
Everyone did.
Yeah.
Everyone did.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGNZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live in the free Odyssey app. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.
I just... Before everybody came out with the numbers and all that, I'm a big like feel guy and also just like basic math. Like, does anyone know basic math? Okay, if I go first, all right, and I conceivably could kick a field goal on like a 4th and whatever because I don't want to turn the ball over on downs, right? And then now a field goal beats me. But if I go second, I know exactly what I need to get.
Yep.
I know exactly what I need to get. And so in this scenario, it was so obvious to me. And then also your defense was on the field forever, right? Forever. And I was like, they're not going to just give up a field goal. Because to this guy, Mahomes, one throw, you're in field goal range.
Exactly. And he was scampering. He was scampering. They did have a fourth and short scenario.
Yeah, it was a read option play that Nick Bosa completely blew and then tried to blame everyone else.
This doesn't bother me.
No, he did. He's a great player. He made a horrible play. Like, Jair Brown got a crazy interception to start off the second half, and they lost yards.
They couldn't do anything off of it. Yeah.
Just. I want to throw this baseball through the glass thinking about that loss.
What did Carter do to you? Don't throw it
through him. No, it's not in him. It's just awful. I mean, McCaffrey was terrible in that game. So, like, straight up, like, it's just terrible. And here's the thing. It overshadowed some unbelievable balls he calls. The end-around backwards throw play with Juwan Jennings was as sick of a call I've ever seen Shanahan dial up. He had Ayuk twice over the top. He had Debo twice over the top. Like, Brock was okay in that game, but they needed him to just make one or two plays. Like, and I know there wasn't a lot of protection. I just...
So we're doing the best Bay Area sports topics of the 21st century.
I've rewatched all those Super Bowl losses.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
You're sick.
At least a dozen
times. You're sick. You're a sick individual. Why do you do that to yourself? You're like Jimmy Fallon fever pitch watching the Buckner play over and over and over again expecting something to change.
Sammy Watkins getting pressed by Richard Sherman is one of the dumbest things I have ever seen in my life. He just went, boom, I'm by you, old man.
Burnt toast. It's not even close.
The running back whose name is evading me, right?
Jet McKinnon?
No. It was the 2019 running back for the Chiefs.
Oh.
He's still running for yards right now.
Who was the 2019? It wasn't Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
No, it was number 25. He was like a random dude.
Let me think about
Thompson
that.
Or something.
Someone. Yeah. So the 49ers Super Bowl losses clearly still stinging for
Chris
Culver
in 2012.
It's going up against Barry Bonds and steroids, Joey. Barry Bonds and steroids.
Damon Bruce used to read a page out of Game of Shadows. That's how he would say it
right
on his show. And he'd read a page out of Game of Shadows every single day. Not only did this play out with federal indictments on the cover of the San Francisco Chronicle and Examiner every single day, Gary Radnich would say, I don't know, was Dibs sent down to the courthouse? I can't remember what he did, but they would have someone out in front of the courthouse, you know, talking about the FBI investigation and the trial and everything like that. This went on for a decade. A decade. Bonds and steroids.
By the way, though, real quick for the Chiefs running back, Damian Williams.
And
Darwin Thompson. There you go. So yeah, I think you said
Thompson. But it was Damian Williams who went off.
He had
the
game-winning, the game-clinching touchdown. Yeah.
And so, 55, Frank Clark had moments in that game.
Yeah. Honey Badger. Remember that? I just have to say the names, and I get the thousand-yard stare like Shasky was just on the beaches of Normandy. That's what Patrick
in
Mahomes
2019
is.
In
He's
2019
the Germans.
Debo
oh
and these end arounds was working so well, and they just went away from it. Raheem Mostert came out of the NFC Championship game with the most yards ever,
and they didn't go to him.
And he didn't touch the ball till I think the 12-minute mark of the second quarter.
They didn't go to him,
and he was your best dynamic playmaker at that moment in time.
And then Frank Clark after the game literally saying, why did they stop running the ball? We couldn't stop it. They couldn't stop it. And that was what was frustrating about this last Super Bowl loss. We'll get back into Barry Bonds here in a second.
I'm sorry. Like, losses, I'll never get over them.
There was something, like, I think for a lot of people, it was just refreshing to see the Chiefs get absolutely eviscerated for after hanging on for dear life all season long.
It doesn't make me feel any better.
No, it doesn't make you feel any better. But it just goes to show you, they just leaned on what they were doing well, and they just didn't let their foot off the gas. Whether that was Vic Fangio rushing four and just making Mahomes confused in the pocket, whether that was, you know, Kellen Moore leaning on the running game or passing, didn't matter. They were just hitting all the right numbers, and it felt like for the first time, because the Tampa Bay one, the Chiefs lost to Tampa Bay, they were without both their starting tackles. I thought that was, and the Tampa was playing at home, for God's sakes, and it was Tom Brady. I think there was a lot baked into that.
Well, we should have took Tom Brady.
I'll
never forget Tom being Brady, at home during Aaron COVID Rogers. Radio saying that if Tom Brady wants to come to you, you take him. And everyone thought I was crazy.
We were actually talking about it last year.
He's washed.
We were talking about last year, if Tom wants to come out of the booth, do you still take him? Do you take him right now? I actually kind of might consider it if I was a certain team, which is insane.
How many Super Bowls would they have won if they would have just got Brady for that one, like that one couple-year stretch?
Two, I think two Super Bowls. At least one.
Jesus Christ.
No, yeah.
They wouldn't have won one. They would have won at least two.
At least two, right?
I mean, he wins that one in L.A., right?
Yes.
Yes. Jimmy couldn't throw the ball. I'm ready to just snap.
Trent Williams' arm was like also falling off too. Wasn't he like
Trent Williams' ankle. He had a high ankle sprain. They ran the exact same play 2 weeks in a row. Third and seven where they moved him as like a fullback or a tight end in motion. And in the second time against the Rams, they stuffed it. And then I said, hey, you got to go for it here because you've crossed so deep into it. Do not give Stafford the ball. And what did Shanahan do?
Oh.
He punted it, and then they kneeled it at the two or whatever it was. And then one pass, boom, we're here, pass interference.
So do you feel more sick?
There's an argument the Niners could have nine Super Bowls.
Wow.
What?
It's true. There's an argument to be made.
I know. I'm not saying that they did. I'm saying there's an argument that they could have nine Super Bowls. 2011, 2012, 2013, okay? That's three.
I'm going to give you the 20, whatever the one were the Broncos. I'll give you that one. Against the Patriots, though, I don't know. That Patriots team was so damn good. You beat the Legion of Boom.
You beat the Patriots' breaks off the following year with Kaepernick. You ran them off the field. And then Brady had to make some crazy comeback.
He did make a crazy
comeback. And that was in the snow.
I know.
The sleet snow. So I hear you. I watched that Niners team. They matched up. And that defense in 2012 wasn't as good as the defense in 2011.
That Niners game in New England, I think today was one of the best games I've ever watched.
Kaepernick threw a 150-mile-an-hour fastball to Michael Crabtree on the sideline. And I could feel it whizzing by my face on the television. That's where I'll go to my deathbed. I know Cap didn't turn into a great quarterback when it was all said and done. He was unbelievable. He was a video game.
Sounds like this might be the winner.
I know. Like, I'm losing my mind.
No, it's, again, heartbreaking
losses,
and then
the three Super Bowls. But you're asking me how many. The argument is like, okay, give me two of those three Super Bowls, right? So now I'm up to seven Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. And then, okay, if Brady comes, you'll win at least two of those. Now we're up to nine Super Bowls. That's my point. The Niners, there is a realm where they have like nine Super Bowls, but they don't.
They don't. And they're still searching
for another one. And they're 0 for 3.
They're 0 for 3 in this century as we're talking about the best Bay Area sports topics of the 21st century.
I hate talking about this. Speaking, I'm sorry.
Do you hate talking about that more than you hate talking about Barry Bonds and steroids? Because that was an exhausting topic for a very long time.
Some guys are allowed to just wiggle out of steroids, you know. Yvonne Rodriguez, David Ortiz, Alex Rodriguez.
Well, A-Rog's, I think, still getting punished for it.
Oh, is he?
He's not in the Hall of Fame. Absolutely. He's literally, it's him and Barry Bonds are two of the greatest players I've ever seen in my life, and neither of them in the Hall of Fame, and it's a joke.
So, he's so punished. Major League Baseball as a whole decided to have him on two separate platforms for playoffs and postseason. He's so punished.
I feel like if Barry Bonds wanted to do that, he could. Like,
He was told, get out of the game in... We don't want you. They were mad at the Marlins for bringing him in.
If Barry Bonds approached Fox Sports, Major League Baseball, or ESPN, they would absolutely make him, no doubt.
It has to be, like Samson's talked about this, it has to be approved by Major League Baseball.
And they would approve it immediately.
I don't know. They were really mad. So. They were really mad at the Marlins for bringing him in as a batting coach.
I think we're underrating how much hated Alex Rodriguez was for a time.
But Alex is charismatic on TV. He's way better than Bonds on TV.
I actually think Barry's really good on TV. Like, there's an arrogance factor that actually, like, because he's Barry Bonds, I respect it, and it's okay. Like when he was at Rickwood last year, I thought that was really him and Ken Griffey talking. It was like, what if Satchel Paige? Remember, it was what if Satchel Paige threw the ball, gone. That's what he said. It's like stop. It's gone. Like, and I love that arrogance from Barry Bonds because he's the greatest hitter of all time. But
I think Alex Rodriguez. Like we can argue about it. I just think Alex Rodriguez is a little more charismatic, and I think he's better on television.
Okay, no, that's fine. I'm saying. I do think if Barry wanted to be in front of Major League Baseball and be like a voice right now when it comes to like the television, right, whatever, I think he could be if he wants to. He just doesn't want to.
And
I think
him and Bud hated each other, and Manfred is Bud's boy, was Bud's boy. I mean, he was his hand-selected predecessor. So I don't know. Like, we just view it differently. I think you kind of underrate how much he is hated by the old guard across the country.
Maybe, but I do think because we're getting this new young influx of people, of media that grew up.
Oh, no doubt.
It's changing. The Steven Rizzotos of the world, the Sam Lubmans of the world.
But Joe,
right?
You're underestimating when you play on the East Coast, they just like you more, period. And Bonds never had that luxury.
I know, but we're comparing and contrasting two guys that were linked with steroids, with Alex Rodriguez and Barry Bonds. I think A-Rod was, of my lifetime, at times it feels like he was just as hated as Barry Bonds.
You wouldn't know it now.
Not stand A-Rod.
Yeah, but you wouldn't know it now, right?
Not now, but still, people still think he's corny. And they look at A-Rod and just kind of like roll their eyes, like, this guy, really? Like, they think he's inauthentic. They do.
I don't discredit that, but I just think that overall, I think more people smile when they see A-Rod.
We got some sound here that we're going to get to on the other side in regards to Barry Bonds and that whole thing. When it comes to steroids, when it comes to all the Mitchell report, all that stuff. But the best Bay Area sports topics of the 21st century is what we are discussing right now.
Who's winning the Bonds in the Super Bowl?
That's what I wanted to ask. We tease it for the other side?
Yeah, let's tease it for the other side.
All right. There you go.
We've got some more we got to get through. Sorry, I went down the misery rabbit hole.
Well, we have to. The three Super Bowl losses. I mean, my God. But it's the 49ers Super Bowl losses going up against head-to-head Barry Bonds and steroids. You can vote on that at 95.7 The Game on our social. On the other side, we got the mayor joining us as well, though. Daniel Lurie, courtesy of River Islands. And it's also going to be brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.